I'm particularly happy tonight that Kelby is here. I wrote him shortly after the last meeting when I was asked to be chairman, asked him to come. Then, without knowing it, Joe, Grocerman Joe over here, asked me to call Kelby and ask him to come down. So Kelby has a double invitation, and we're happy, Kelby, to give you the rest of the time on the stroke.
Thank you, Wayne. Folks, I don't know of any merit of my own that qualifies me to make a talk tonight after what has already been said. My name is Shelby. I am an alcoholic. With the help of power greater than myself, which I choose to call God, fellowship of AA just like you, 12 steps of this program and my feeble attempts to follow them, I haven't had a drink in 2 years and 4 months today. Incidentally, my sobriety date is the same as Joe's. I feel deeply grateful for this privilege tonight to talk to you fine people, and if you'll just shake with me, we'll get along. Most people say if you'll just bear with me, but if you'll just shake with me, we'll get along. Incidentally, if it gets boresome, I wish you'd call me down. I don't want to be classified as the guy that once spoke before Will Rogers. He was rather long-winded, and he talked for quite some length of time, and finally he pulled out his watch, and evidently it wasn't working, and he says, "Does anyone have the time?" Oh, Will Rogers sitting down in the crowd, and he says, "Why worry about the time? There's a calendar right behind you." So if it gets boring, I wish some of you would just call me down. What I have to offer tonight are simply my convictions and my conceptions of the AA program. I might relate to you some things that you've heard time and time again. But those things had to be presented to me in the same manner time and time again because you might classify me as being a little stupid. We learned when we first come into AA that this is a simple program, and it's evidently simple because I know that if there's very many guys like I am, there wouldn't be this many here sober tonight. It has to be simple if we get it. We come into this program, we come onto this program in more or less a very futile last attempt to find something in life for us besides the suffering and pain and agony that we go through with in our drinking. As Joe said, you white people don't understand alcoholics. The agony and the sickness that we go through with, I'm not trying to justify us in any manner at all, but I know that I've seen some few alcoholics go to work to cover up their drinking when they, if they have been half that sick with the flu, they have stayed at home and called it off. In their vain attempt to cover up their drinking, I've done the same thing myself. My father is a very staunch, stubborn man. But I know that if he had been as sick as I was in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, after some of my 3-day fastings up there, that you couldn't have got him out of bed, and I slipped out of the tent through the stockade and walked 7 miles into town in 35 below zero weather to get another drink. If my father had been that sick, then like I say, a stubborn, staunch man, he couldn't have got him out of bed. We don't drink like that because we want to. We drink because it's something we can't help. It's a compulsion that my mother-in-law tried to tell me about for 2 or 3 years, that I didn't drink like I did because I wanted to, but because I couldn't help it. And I might add at this time, you've heard some people classified as nigger lovers. Some people classify me as a mother-in-law lover. I do love my mother-in-law. She's one of the biggest inspirations I had in AA. He is where I got the first little bit of faith that I had when I came into AA. I have a lot of sordid details in my past, very few of them that would be any different than other alcoholics. I drank up one family. I've been severely burned twice in my life. I lost an arm. But most of all, I lost everybody's respect for me and my own self-respect. Those things go hand in hand with alcoholism. When I first came in AA, they told me that I would have to give up in order to get up. I had a couple of uncles that I used to wrestle with. They'd get me down and hold me, and when I'd finally say I give up, well, they'd let me up. That's what I had to do when I came into AA. I had to give up and admit that I was powerless over alcohol before I could start getting up. When I came into AA, I accepted the fact that I was an alcoholic, but I'm afraid that I misconstrued the word alcoholism. Because I didn't make a success of the program when I first came on. I had trouble with the program, not particularly the program. I had trouble with me, the same guy that I'd always had trouble with and blamed it on everybody else. The idea in my mind was that if I could take this program and stay dry, I could handle it possibly the same way and stay sober and continue drinking. Consequently, I had 3 slips. Not ever accepting what alcoholism actually was. Finally, after the only unselfish prayer I'd ever said in my life, faith came to me in such a strong measure through the answering of that prayer that I grew to know what alcoholism was and have faith in a far greater than myself. To me, today, alcoholism is spelled with 4 words instead of the conventional way of the letters. Drink, drunk, disaster, and death. We, the alcoholics, have suffered that death. And in AA, we find what we term as a resurrection. And it is, literally speaking, it is a resurrection from a moral and a spiritual death. We have strong sacred sentiments about this program in that respect, because we believe that it definitely is a resurrection program. In due time, it will resurrect us physically. None of us have ever suffered physical death, but it, more or less, we can possibly say that this resurrection has kept us from suffering the agonies of a drunken death. I had an uncle that went to the hospital drunk. He never recovered. He laid there in DTs and died. He completely dehydrated away, never knowing what was happening, and I've stood and watched him change sheets under him twice in an hour's time. Cold sweat. I sweated just like that. But he died never recovering from his last drunk. But for the grace of God, that could have been me. Some 17 years ago, thanks to our co-founders, we have had since that time this program that we can call a program of resurrection. Bill Wilson so aptly put this in these words that this program is like a beautiful cathedral. It started with the 12 steps as the foundation. The 12 traditions were the walls, the support. And then this service, our third legacy, is the spire, and as he so beautifully put it, reaching ever upward. That's the way we like to think of this program. It's something that's reaching upward toward the good things in life. Well, if we have that cathedral now, I think it's our duty as AAs to practice these principles in all our affairs as maintenance men. In other words, the proper maintenance applied on any building or structure at the proper time will keep it from deteriorating, falling apart. There's faith, confidence in every one of us from some other member in AA. I have a lot of them. Boy, I'll tell you, there's a million of them that I can look around in, and they just inspire me every time. Well, any of them. It doesn't make me any difference, because that's the way I've gotten this program. It's a traditional program. Those things that have been handed down to me, given to me through charity, are the things that have helped keep me sober, that have helped educate me. I've gotten a wonderful education out of this program. It's learned me one thing that I think is most important to any alcoholic, and that is, in the words of the great teacher, know thyself. In the first step, as I said, I gave up and I started getting up. And the second step, that's something I couldn't cope with at all, because I thought I was about to talk to the smartest guy in the world anyway, and nothing insane about me, so I didn't have to believe that anything had to restore me to sanity. But I got down to the third step, and it was expressed by a good AA the other night that that's the key to the program, and I think it is. I think it's one of the keys to the program. Possibly you've seen these boxes, safety deposit boxes, they have two keys. Maybe this program has more than one key, but it is a wonderful key to this program. Because we can unlock this program then, and in that third step, we're given the chance to draw our own picture of God, as we understand. I think that's the reason that some of us have tried religion, possibly couldn't make a go of it, is because they already had a picture of God cut and dried for us. In this program, we are given that liberty to draw our own picture of God. And then right in the next step, if you'll study it, it gives us a chance, an opportunity, to draw another picture. In that picture, we have to use all black ink, because it's a pretty black picture. We have to draw a picture of ourselves then as God sees us. And brother, it's pretty nasty and pretty nasty. It's pretty black. It was black all the way. I've been in AA some 35 months. I'm just a little over 35 years, and half of that 35 years was spent under the influence of John Baltimore. Is it any wonder that we in AA can be grateful for something like this that has finally taught us to know ourselves, that we may enjoy actual living conditions that some people do? But at the same time, we have to be ever vigilant that there's not some little place that's not so easily seen that we fail to apply the proper means. My tolerance is something that I like to put way back in the back and never put any maintenance on it or pay any attention to it. Then I can just completely lose tolerance and scream at my wife and scream at my kids, criticize them, raise hell with them all I want to, and never apply any maintenance to it at all. Worry is something that I definitely had to work on an awful lot. But lying, boy, there's the prize. That's it. Now, there's where I had to put in lots of maintenance on it. In other words, I've built me a house of my own. And it has all these defects in it, and there's nothing I can do about those defects. Maybe I've got a beam up there. One of the most important beams in my house is worry. I have to watch that beam all the time. Possibly get an exterminator in on it every once in a while to get the termites out of it. Because if something comes up that maybe business gets a little slow or something like that, or like it happened here a few days ago, Uncle Sam decided he'd overpaid me for the funeral about $430-something, and I didn't get a check, and I was depending on that check. Well, termites were still working on that beam, I'll tell you, because I started having to apply the maintenance on it right there. I got upset to the point that I almost lost my temper. The time that that happened before, I called them up, Veterans Administration, and a fellow by the name of Gumbo, that was assistant in chief up there, and I said, well, they sure as hell spelled your name wrong. They got a G there instead of a D. It ought to be Gumbo. AA has taught me things that are relatively a little bit more simple. In other words, I went up there, and by handling it in a proper manner, and some of this sanity that's been restored to me, Uncle Sam released my check and came on through, and everything straightened out. That was no merit of my own. No merit of my own at all. God did that. Because I have the same physical body and the same mental facilities that I had before I came into AA. I was kind of letting him take over. I had to. I was making an awful mess of my life. As I said, I drank up one family, and I don't know how this little wife of mine put up with me as long as she did. He had the faith. My mother-in-law had the faith. I have not. And on my last drunk before I came into AA, lasted 3 months and 19 days, to the tune of some $2,000, I told her I'd do anything in the world if I could quit drinking. her faith was still there, and she believed me after all those times. And I said, it's the last, and I'll never take another one. And she still believed me. But she handled it in a different manner. She saw this drunk coming on, and she fixed the telephone number over there to me. And for one time in my life, I actually stuck with my promise, and I called that number. 2AA came to see me. They were a little dubious as to whether to accept me as an alcoholic or not. They said, well, you're not dry behind the ears yet. When you write through you're an alcoholic, I said, did you ever wake up in a hotel room after 4 days of not taking a drink and see a bunch of little people coming in asking you about this high, some of them with blood running down over their shoulders and no head? Jackass, you in a high-end box and you jumping out of the sixth floor of that hotel. Did you ever do that? Oh, something on the same order. I said, well, I heard that that's BP. I did that. Why would I drink 3 months and 19 days if I wasn't an alcoholic? Why would I literally give up a child that I worshiped the ground that he walked on? Why, a man that I worshiped as much as I did my dad and liked to go fishing with him, and when he knew that I was coming, and go fishing for shelter. Or if I drove up and he was at home, he'd holler out to the barn or out to the car shed. Something I'd have to look him up if I ever got anything to say to him. Why would I do those things? People that I love, why did I hurt them? I didn't want to. I just wanted to drink and feel better. That's all. Coming into AA, I've learned to know myself. It's educated me to the point that I've gotten back some of that self-respect I had to before I could get back to other people's respect for me. Dad gets ready to go fishing, he'll call me on the telephone and ask me if I can get off. When I drive up, he's one of the first ones out there to meet me. He wants me to spend the night. Before I came in there, he didn't care whether I even came, much less stay the next 10 or 12 hours. Those things are some of the few minor things that AA has definitely given me. A lot of things that AA has given to me, I could go on telling you about them all night. But I'm afraid somebody's put out a calendar. So, the way that I like to express it is, I heard a man say this one time, and before coming into AA, I'd go to church just to please the folks 2 years ago. If I went to church, I felt very uncomfortable. But it has brought me closer to this power greater than myself. I choose to call it God. The prayer that I asked that night was, God help Gene. And he did. The boy hasn't had a drink since. He hasn't had a drink since. And that was the first unselfish prayer that I'd ever uttered, completely unselfish. But those things are amazing. We started a football game one night. We got about 4 miles out of town, and there was a warm feeling came over me, and something says, be not afraid, son. Just as plain as if one of you said it here in this room tonight. Be not afraid, son. But in other words, it might have been just a fancy or something, but it says something will happen to your car tonight. I told my wife, we finished that 60-mile trip. Almost got 9 miles from home and it just stopped running dead as a doornail. That was 4 hours before that happened, but these words came to me. Dang dear, what I want. I wasn't afraid because he had definitely assured me that no harm would come to me, but that something was going to happen. He warned me so that I might not lose my temper. I was pretty close to strong when that went out, and just a little piece down there to get to it. When I lose my temper, I go crazy as a bed bug. Well, if my car had went out that close any other time, well, I'd have hitchhiked back to Strawn rather than the rain. I'd hitchhiked back to Strawn to get somebody for help because it'd been there down there. But that was a warning to me. It seems to offer itself in the same manner that it did to Christ whenever he was tempted while he was fasting out in the forest. They came to him and says, why don't you, with all your magic and power, turn those little rocks into loaves of bread? And he says, no, it is written. He was prepared for those things. Well, who do you think prepared him? The same guy that prepared me. Exactly the same prayer. Possibly he had prayed the same thing. You'll just help me today with some few things that I can't do myself. And that's what he had done. He had passed through that little bit of torture and teasing that he went through there while he was fasting. Gave him strength to say, no, it is written. He was prepared. God prepared me that night. Other things have happened to me in the same manner. But I like to, I can get just as wound up and just as high as a kite on this stuff, just like these two booze, but it has such a more wonderful effect. I'll tell you for sure. I don't have that hangover the next day. I'd like to say that in this program, we have to cut ourselves down to our own size. I have to. We have to apply these principles in everything that we do. And I think one of the greatest things that this program teaches us is to work on ourselves. I know that's the hardest job that I've ever had, and this little prayer up here, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. As stupid as I was, I had become very ape for quite a while before I could even draw a line between those things. I had to get a little wisdom before I could find the courage and stuff that it took to apply that little prayer. But I had to keep working on it. And these fellows that handled things down to me, like Macon Freeman, Fred Stratiford, Doc White, Joe, it doesn't make any difference how long they've been in AA. Joe Salkoff over here has got the same drive age as mine, and mine's 2 years older than his, but it doesn't mean that I'm any better AA than he is. We found in AA that it's not the quantity that counts, but the quality. And I think that applies to us, to what we learned too in AA, that you don't measure a man by his size and his stature and his wealth, but more by his moral and his spiritual merit than anything else. I've grown to look at a man that way now instead of, well, how much can I make him for? A boy, he must be a booger. I'd hate to get in the brawls and something like that. And the strongest people that we have in the world today, and I like to think of it as being in AA too, because I think we're some of the strongest people in the world, is the man with the most faith. The strongest person in this world is the man with the most faith. Faith is something that comes awful close to us in AA, but if we just look around in AA and see these hundreds of thousands of ex-drunkards that are staying sober. And one of the best AAs that I've ever known, they got him off of the streets of Skid Row in Baltimore, and he was so dehydrated to the point that crust was running out from under his fingernails. He has recovered. He has been resurrected. There is enough hope right there to give us the faith that we need to go on through this time. We in AA are selfish. I came up here tonight to get AA. I definitely did, and I've got some to take back. The sincerity that was in Joe Salkoff's eyes when he was talking, the confusion that he more or less expressed by being nervous up here, that's sincerity, that's humility. That's something that every person doesn't have. Humility is something that I had to work awfully hard for, because I was so filled with ego that I was still the boy that was back in his days when he weighed 104 pounds in college that could tear half pint and eat boots to school with him. And when he went home at lunch, he had to fill him up again. I've done that many a time. I was privileged to go to school up there because I was working. I didn't have to take that reserved officer's training, so I wore civilian clothes and a pair of boots. I'd sit in typing class with a half pint open and straw in it, and I'd hit a liquor through with his hand and stuff it out with a straw in it on this side. I started drinking when I was about 16 years old, and I actually suffered remorse after the first time that I drank. I was riding home from Harvest with one of my cousins, and they had 10 gallons of white new whiskey that night and 5 gallons of ice cream the last night of the Harvest. We got a half a gallon, and I took a drink of it. I took another drink, and when I got off the wagon to go up the lane to my granddad's house, well, something was wrong, and I was a little scared. There was that typical fear that's in every AA, in every alcoholic, and still in AA. We have a little bit of fear. But
this first saw that the rich should not sell the poor for a pair of shoes. He was the first one that said that a man ought not own two homes while other children don't have a pair of shoes. that's putting first things first, and having real spiritual values. The church is the one who can give that. The great problem of our generation and the next probably is the matter of security and freedom. Can we have both? Can we have both? Soviet Union says security. American Republic says freedom. But as a matter of fact, we're beginning to see that we've got to have both. It's got to be worked out some way. We can't have it unless we somewhat conquer the spirit of greed that is not nearly so widespread and so vigorous in our country as it was. A new book has just come out on what has happened the last 19 years since March the 4th of 1934.